You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Great.
And kids, how are y'all doing? All right. Sounds like we got some over here maybe. Are there any kids over here? There they are. Yeah. So good. So glad that you guys are here. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9 today. That's on page 917 if you have one of the hardback black Bibles. I just want to say today's family worship weekend, and it's such a joy to be able to have our kids in here with us, to be able to sing their songs. It's also a joy for us to realize just how bad we are at dancing. Am I right? You can tell that those Baptist roots go really, really deep. Yeah, it's so funny to me that that Dave referenced that as one of the things that he is hoping for in the new creation, because he's really going to need a lot of supernatural help with that one. Whew, man, praise the Lord for grace. So we're in Acts chapter 9. Kids, just to kind of give you like a little bit of an overview of what we've been doing here in Big Church, which is what I called it when I was your age. Here in Big Church, we've been going through the book of Acts. And what the book of Acts is it's a story about what happens after Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. And so in the Bible, Jesus Christ came, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, and then he rose again. And after he rose, he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to work and to build the church. And so what happens in the Bible is after Jesus Christ ascends, the church begins to expand and the church begins to spread. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they proclaim the gospel, great things are done, and the gospel goes forth. And so that is the part of the story that we're in right now. We are in the part of the story where Jesus Christ is building his church. And what we're gonna hear about today is a story about how a man is changed by Jesus Christ. And it's this incredible picture of transformation. How many of you know that whenever you walk into a dark room and you flip on a light, everything changes, right? The light just immediately fills the entire room and the room is almost entirely different. What was dark, what you couldn't see, is changed to be light. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the Apostle Paul here in this story, is he was transformed by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read a few verses of our passage today, and then we're going to pray and get into what the Lord has for us. So in verse 1, it says this, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the story and the message of Paul, that though he was lost, he was found by Jesus Christ, that though he was far from you, because of the reconciling and saving work of Jesus Christ, he was brought to life. Though he was dead in his trespasses and sins, he has new life because of Jesus. And Father, that is the message of the gospel. That is the message of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. And we pray that even today, among the hearts and lives of all of those here, that they would experience that reconciling power and love of Jesus Christ. That we would all be reminded of the truth of the gospel, and that we would be compelled to trust in Jesus. We love you, Father. In Christ we pray. Amen. So again, the story that we're hearing about today is a story about Paul the Apostle. Now in this passage, he's called Saul, and that's just another name for him. Now, Paul was one of the apostles of Jesus. He was one of the ones who took the gospel to the nations, who immediately started sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus Christ so that they could be saved and so that the church could expand. Now, what's so cool about the Apostle Paul is we are about to hear the story of how he became a believer. We're going to hear the story of how he went from someone who hated God to being someone who loved and trusted Jesus Christ. Now, the story that we're going to hear has a incredible change, an incredible transformation, an incredible transition that we will see in this story. And the point of this passage is very clear, and it's this, and this is our key point for today. It's that Jesus Christ loves to save sinners, all right? Jesus Christ loves to save sinners. Okay, everybody say that with me. Jesus Christ loves to save sinners. Good job, kids. Can you guys say that for me? You guys ready? Jesus Christ loves to save sinners. Good job. Good job, everybody. All right, so that's what we're going to be hearing about today. So before we get into that, though, we need to know who Paul was before Jesus Christ saved him. What the passage tells us today is that he was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. It says that he was going to a town called Damascus so that when he got there, he could arrest Christians and throw them in prison and potentially kill them. Can you guys believe that? Like, it's wrong for you to hurt someone, right? How much more wrong is it for you to actually murder someone? You see, what is happening here is that Paul is a really, really evil person. As a matter of fact, what we see here is that he hated Jesus Christ. Can you guys believe that? Like, how bad is it for you to hate anyone, much less hating Jesus Christ? He hated Jesus, he hated God, and he was so confused that he thought he was doing the right thing. Can you guys believe that? Like, he actually thought that he was doing right by God by killing Christians. So Paul was a murderer. He was a hater. He hated God and he hated Christians and he was seeking to kill them. Now that's where Paul was in this. But how many of you know that that's actually where all of us are because of sin? Now, you don't normally think about your sin hating God, do you? You don't normally think about when you sin that you hate God, but that's actually very much what the Bible would say. The Bible actually says that all of us in our sin are in rebellion against God. How many of your parents use the word rebellion? Yeah, my dad said that all the time, that I was a rebellious kid. Now listen, Star Wars has kind of made rebellion cool, but it's actually not cool, okay? Rebellion is not a good thing. Rebellion is when there's someone who's in authority who we should respond to with right away with a great heart. I couldn't think of the word. Obedience. There it is. Someone who's in authority who we should respond to in obedience when we reject that person and actually hate them and act like they're wrong, right? So rebellion is a bad thing. Rebellion's not a good thing. The Bible actually says that in our sin, we are in rebellion against God. We are hating him, telling him what he wants for us is not best, what he has for us is not good, and what he wants for our lives is not what we want for our lives. So in fact, our sin, all of our sin, is hatred against God and rebellion against him. So this is the story of Paul the Apostle, but this is actually the story of each and every one of us in our sin. In our sin, we are saying, I hate God. I don't want what he has for me. What he has for me is not best. And that's not true, is it, right? Because the truth is that what God has is what's best. So that's what sin does. Sin causes us to not want God, to hate him and to turn from him. And that's exactly where Paul is in this story. He was so confused in his rebellion. He thought he was doing the right thing. And in fact, he was sinning against God and he hated God. But here's the thing. How do you think that Jesus responded to that? How do you think Jesus could have responded to that? He could have been really angry, right? And it would have been right for him to be angry. Just like if your parents get upset if you do something wrong, right? Like they might get angry and at times it's right for them to be angry. It's not right for them always to respond in anger, parents. Like you need to hear that too, right? But here's the thing, for Jesus to be angry here, it would have been right for him to be angry. But Jesus didn't respond that way. As a matter of fact, Jesus loved Paul. Now notice the difference there, right? Paul hated Jesus. He wanted nothing to do with him, but how did Jesus respond? Jesus loved Paul. And look at how this story goes. Paul is on his way. He is headed to go and to kill Christians, and Jesus Christ shows up. Jesus Christ appears, and he saves Paul. Look at what happens in the story. Paul is on his way to Damascus, and in verse three, it says that as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven shone all around him. And falling to the ground, he heard the voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Paul responds and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Now, here's what happens in the rest of the story. The rest of the story says that Paul was blind for 3 days, that he couldn't see anything. But after 3 days, he went to a man named Ananias, who told him about the gospel, who told him about God's love, and Paul was saved. He was radically transformed from being someone who hated God to being someone who loved and trusted Jesus, from being someone who killed and murdered to being someone who actually would die for Jesus Christ, from being someone who is dead in his sin to being someone who was alive in Jesus Christ. And all of that happened because Jesus Christ loved him. There's a couple different verses where Paul actually speaks to this very thing. I think about Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to what it says. It says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is exactly Paul's story, right? And it's the story of all of us if we love and trust Jesus. Jesus Christ didn't die for us when we were doing good things. He didn't die for us when we were happy people. He died for us when we were still sinners. Did you guys know that that's what the gospel is? That Jesus Christ loves his people so much that he dies for them even while they were in complete rebellion to him. Even while they hated him, and he dies on the cross that they might have life, that they might be changed. There's another one in Titus 3, verse 3. It's a lot, but I'll read it for us. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and in envy." And this is the important part: hated by others and hating one another. That's all of us in our sin. But listen to the next verse. It says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy." So did Jesus Christ save Paul because Paul changed his life and started doing good things? No. Jesus Christ saved him because he loved Paul. And in that, by his own good works, Paul was made alive. And guys, that's the story of Paul, and that's the story of each and every one of us if we've loved and trusted Jesus. So there's two things there. Number one, we should see that this shows the love of Jesus Christ, that he loves even the sinner. And the second thing is, it shows the power of Jesus Christ. Christ transformed this person from being someone who hated him to being someone who loved him and loved others. Jesus changed him from someone who was about to kill Christians to later on being someone who would actually die for Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, like this story, it immediately starts telling you about how incredible this transition is because no one believes it. Everyone in the story is just so surprised. They're like, "Wait a second, I know him." And that's meant to show you that this is an incredible transformation. This is truly happening only by the power of Jesus Christ. That brings us back to our main point, that Jesus Christ loves to save sinners. So, brothers and sisters, are you in your sin today? Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants to save you. So for us as adults, there's a couple of things that I think are just really important for us to understand here. You see that as believers, if you love and trust Jesus Christ, that's the language that we use for our kids. If you're a believer in here, this should do two things for you. In seeing the story of Paul, this should humble each and every one of us. Guys, I just cannot tell you how much I needed to hear this week. That this is the story of Paul's life, but it is most definitely the story of all of our lives if we've trusted in Jesus Christ. It's not the case that we were okay and that we were doing fine and that Jesus just came on and he put like a merit badge on our shoulder and we were able to go on as good believers. That's actually not true at all. As a matter of fact, each and every one of us were alienated from God, hostile toward him and hating him. And the reason that you need to be reminded of that is that it is so often the case that we forget that when we deal with other people's sin. It's so often that we forget that when we see that, oh man, there's other like really, really sinful people here. And somehow we start thinking that we're just the Christian that Jesus put a merit badge on and everybody else needs a lot more work than we do. When in fact, that's not the case. As a matter of fact, there is no sin that you are not capable of. There is no sin that I am not capable of. We were not just happy-go-lucky people who Jesus Christ just kind of redirected. No, we were people who were dead in our trespasses and sins, and Jesus Christ had to completely transform and redirect us. He had to turn us the complete opposite direction of the way that we were going. So what that should do is it should humble us. We shouldn't be the people who are walking around saying, you know, hey, we were good people and Jesus Christ made us better people. We should be the people who are saying, we are horrible, wretched sinners and the only good that we have is what Jesus Christ has done. And that should cause us to be that type of people, always humble before the Lord, always low before him, seeking his work and his best for our lives. So it should humble us, but it should also encourage us. Who is the person who you think is too far from Jesus Christ for him to save? Who's the person in your life that you haven't even bothered to pray for that person because you think there's no way that Jesus Christ could save them? Here's the thing, if Jesus Christ can't save that person, then he can't save you. The reality is that we need the powerful transforming work of Jesus Christ to save any sinner, much less Paul, much less myself, the chief of sinners. And so what I should see in this story is not that Jesus Christ just redirected someone or that this was just a one-time ordeal. This is what Jesus does every time a sinner passes from death into life. This power of transformation, this power of salvation is not something that just originates out of our goodwill. It happens according to the power and purpose of Jesus Christ from all time. Jesus Christ does this. I mean, come on. Have you guys been seeing what happened with Kanye West this past week? Or I guess he put the album out. It's been happening. The Lord just doing something there. Praise the Lord. Like we might be seeing one of the greatest transformations of our time. I would say that, but then I know that Neil Batman was probably the greatest transformation of our time, right? And you should all be thinking that. This is an incredible picture of someone whose heart has been turned and who seems to be walking out faithfulness in Jesus Christ and proclaiming the gospel through the gifts that the Lord has given him. And that's exactly the story of Paul, and that's the example of every believer who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus does. He saves. Out of his power and through the work of the Holy Spirit, he convicts of sin and he points to righteousness and truth that we might have life. Who is it that you're struggling to believe that Jesus Christ can save? Who is it that you are afraid to share the gospel with because you think there's no way that person would turn from their sin and be saved? Brothers and sisters, this is the power of Jesus Christ to save. Let's be a people who believe this and who proclaim this. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Thank you for the message of the gospel. Thank you for Jesus Christ's saving work, that Jesus Christ loves to save sinners. We love you, Father, and we ask that you would help us to see that, to trust in Jesus Christ, and to worship and glorify him. In Christ we pray, amen.